Today we're going to talk about access to God. And we're going to compare the access to God that the Jews had before Jesus Christ compared with the access that we have now. Okay? And if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, it tells us what kind of access we have. For through Him, through Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, that both there refers to Jews and Gentiles. Because remember, a part of the mystery was that Jews and Gentiles would be of the same body. Alright? If you look up in verse 11, it says, Wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Talking about Gentiles and Jews, right? That at that time you were without Christ. Talking about Gentiles. Anybody who wasn't... Because remember, the Jews were God's chosen people. They were God's chosen people. If you weren't a Jewish person, you were nothing. You were no better than a dog. And that's the truth. You know, how many times did God tell the Jewish people to go into a place and kill everyone? Why? Because you had no value if you weren't Jewish. So, you were definitely were without Christ. Verse 12. That at that time ye, talking about the Gentiles, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, and look at this, having no hope, and without God in the world. If you weren't a Jewish person, you were out of luck. You had nothing. And not only you had no hope, you didn't even have hope of anything in the future because you weren't a Jewish person. Verse 13, But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, talking about those Gentiles, are made nigh or close by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who has made both, Jew and Gentile, one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And that middle wall is important, all right, because that's talking about the temple, all right? And I'm not going to say this is a great representation of the temple. I've got a picture that I just printed these out right quick. I'm just going to pass this around. Here's the temple, okay? Here's kind of a couple of representations of the temple of Jesus' time. Here, you just pass that. Just look at it for a second. Pass it around, okay? The temple was basically, because the temple was a representation of man's separation from God. All right? This was the Gentiles. The Gentiles could go into this area in the temple, okay? You could only go to this area if you were Jewish. And this is the court. This is the court of women. And if you were a Jewish woman, you could go into here. To go into this, you had to be a man. Okay. And then inside of this courtyard, there was a building, and the building had a holy place in it, and then it had the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies is where the Ark of the Covenant was. Okay. Remember the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark? Well, this is what they were looking for. They were looking for the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant is where the tablets that Moses brought down from Sinai were supposed to be stored, along with a few other things. So we'll look at it here in a sec. So, if you were a Gentile, you could get into this courtyard. How close were you to this? Not very close. And if you were a Jewish woman, you could get into this courtyard, but how close were you to this? Still not very close. If you were a Jewish man, you could get into this courtyard. How close were you to this? Closer, but not quite there, right? This little room here is called the Holy of Holies, and it is supposed to be where God lived, in this room, right here. And here's how many people could get in to see into this room. Here's what you had to be. Think about it. You had to be Jewish, okay? Who knows how many millions of people there were in the world? Let's say there was 200 million people, okay? And 2 million of them were Jewish people. So, you had to be Jewish, which was maybe 1/100th of the population, probably a lot less than 1/100th, okay? You had to be a man. You couldn't be a woman, right? So that cut out half of the people right there, right? All right, half of you people are out of luck, right? If you're not a man, you're out of luck. There were 12 tribes in Israel, and so you had to be of the tribe of Levi. So that makes it down to 1/12. That means 8% of the men. And out of the tribe of Levi, there were the priests, and then there were the high priests, and there were just a few high priests. And one high priest once a year. Once a year, one high priest one time could get into this room called the Holy of Holies, where it is said that God resided. Okay? So out of all the people in the world, even out of all the, let's face it, if you were a Jew, at least you weren't without hope, right? But out of, let's say there was 2 million Jews at the time of Jesus. One guy once a year actually got into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. Now, is that where God really lived? No, God didn't really live there in this little room, right? In fact, you'll see that the area that they said he lived in was just this little space about this big, you know, or so. Now, God didn't really live in a space that big, right? But this is a representation of man's separation from God. This is why God said, you need a Savior. Because if you want to live by my rules, by my terms, and try to make yourself worthy by your works and by your flesh, this is all the access you're ever going to get to me, even if you do everything the right way. And guess what? The guys that went in, and I'm sorry, I could go to all these verses, but we'd be here forever, okay? The high priest that went into the Holy of Holies, if they made one mistake, there was a ceremony that they had to go through. And if they made one mistake, you know what happened to them? They died. They didn't get a second chance. They died. And so that's what you had to do to get access to God, is you had to be the one special lucky guy who got to go in there, and you better do it right the first time. Because there's no do-over. Because there's... I know. It's like if I was in the group, it's like, it's my turn? I'll tell you what, I need to work on it another year. Why don't you go? I don't need to go yet. I think I'll wait another year. But that's what they would do, is the high priest would take turns, basically. They would draw lots, you know, they would draw straws or whatever. And they would do that until all of the high priests had done it once, and then they would start over. One time, once a year, and you better do it right. That's how you get into the presence of God, is right there. But through Jesus Christ, we all have access to God. At all times, we have access to God. That's why verse 18, Ephesians 2:18, for through Him, we both, Jew and Gentile. See, the Gentiles were way out here. But even the Jews weren't there, were they? They were just kind of hanging around. They were just hanging around in the general vicinity. They couldn't get into there. They couldn't do it, even though they were Jewish. And these guys weren't even close. That's the middle wall of partition. This wall here is the middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile. That's what it's talking about here in verse 14. For He is our peace. And it could be rendered peace treaty. Between who? The Jew and the Gentile. He brought peace between the Jew and the Gentile. He is our peace treaty, who has made both Jew and Gentile one body, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the division, the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain, of two, what? Jew and Gentile, right? One new man. The new man is the body of Christ made of all the believers. So making peace that He might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity or division thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were afar off, that's the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh or close, that's the Jews. For through Him we both, Jew and Gentile, have access. And that means like the introduction. You know how sometimes you'll say, you know, like you want to, like in my profession, you know what? I know the judge, okay? We're good. It's cool. I know the judge. Everything's going to be fine. See? Jesus knows the judge. He gets us access in with God, in with the Father. You know, if you wanted to see the president, the best person to know would be what? The president's son, maybe, right? Well, guess what? You know the Son. And so you have access into an audience with God because of the Son, because of what He did for you. Verse 18, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners. Talking about you Gentiles, remember? You guys aren't strangers and foreigners anymore. But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Fantastic. That's what it's about. That's what we have now through Christ, is we have access to God. Okay, now here's a couple of pictures of the Ark of the Covenant. And you'll notice they're all different because nobody really knows what it looked like, okay? Here's the Ark, some pictures of the Ark of the Covenant, and we're going to focus on those. And between the Ark of the Covenant, this room is called the Holy Place, and now a priest would go in here all the time. They go in here every day. But between the Holy Place and the Most Holy Place, there was this veil, which was a big curtain. Now, I want you to think about this. I'm going to pass this around again. Here's the temple, representation of the temple. Look how big that building is. This veil wasn't a curtain like that. It wasn't a little sheer like we have back here, okay? It was a curtain that was said to be 40 feet high and 3 feet thick. And it was only parted to pass through it one time, once a year, okay? So think how it would be as big as this room. It would be as tall as this building. A massive, massive curtain. Not a curtain like this. Big deal. But a... Huh? Yeah, saying the word veil, because you think of what? You think of like, you know, you think like a woman getting married, she's got a little veil, you know, over her face, and so that you can see through, right? You know, nope. I think you make it layer after layer after layer after layer. In other words, it was designed to keep you out. It was designed to keep you out. Stay away. Okay, let's go to Exodus. Okay, Exodus chapter 25, Genesis, Exodus. And if you look at the pictures of the ark, you'll see it has these little winged guys on the top of it. Those are called cherubim. Cherub. One is cherub, two is cherubim, or plural, I guess. Cherubim. Cherubi. So, let's see, Exodus 25 and verse 8. Exodus 25, 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. And they shall make it an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth, and 1 cubit and a half the height. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them into the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side, and 2 rings on the other side. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. And the staves shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I give thee. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold. Of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall you make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings. And their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there, listen to this, and there, where? On that mercy seat. And there will I meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. So, if you wanted to have access to God, where did you have to go? You had to go into the Holy of Holies, and he would be floating above the mercy seat. Obviously, God doesn't, you know, really live there, but that was the representation, that to have access to God, that's the only place you could go really have access to God. If you go to Psalm 99, verse 1, "The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. He sitteth between the cherubims." Now let's go to Isaiah 37. Isaiah, go Psalm, Proverb, Isaiah 37. Okay, Isaiah 37, verse 16. "O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth." So there it is. God. In other words, you get the point, right? Uh-huh. Is that if you want to find God, that's where you got to go to get Him. And interesting, the veil the veil, let's look at the veil. Let's go to Exodus 26. Back to Exodus. Exodus 26. And let's look at the veil. Because there's something also interesting about the veil. I don't know. And he's got a point too. The tabernacle was actually a tent. But the point I'm getting to is that when Jesus was alive, they had the temple made with stones, made with blocks, okay? And it was a great big building. I mean, really, it was on, you know, the temple. I don't know if you guys have ever been to a town, you know, small towns especially. I know there was a town in Tech that we used to drive through called Archer City. And I meant to go find a picture of it. Archer City, yeah. Last picture show, that's right. Well, we used to drive through Archer City to go to my mom's house. From Lubbock, we'd drive to Seymour, and then we'd drive through Archer City to Bowie. And so in Archer City, have you been there? What's the most prominent thing in Archer City? And it's not the last picture show. It's a great big church up on a hill. When you drive through Archer City, it's a massive church up on a hill in Archer City. Huge. Anyway, but if you've been to any small town, you know, there's a lot of small towns in our land that the most prominent thing in the town was the church. You know, was that middle of town, you know, or the court, that's right, or a courthouse. In fact, if you go to Decatur, Texas, I thought it was a church for a long time because it was this massive building up on a hill, and it's the courthouse. You can see it from everywhere. Well, the temple in Jerusalem was like that. You wanted to see it from everywhere. It was built up on a hill, and it was a massive building. So wherever you were at, you would see it. That was the idea, this huge, massive building that you could see from everywhere. And inside that building was the Holy of Holies. It was a massive veil. And let's read in Exodus 26 about the veil. Okay, 26:31. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work. With cherubims shall it be made. Now look at this. There's cherubims on the ark and there's cherubims on the veil. What's the purpose of a cherubim? Well, one of the actually, you know what? I think that it's to keep people out. They guard. They keep people out. And I'll tell you why. It's because when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, what did God put at the gate of the entrance to the garden to keep them away? Cherubim, that's right. The cherub are there to guard and to keep people away. And that's why they're on the veil, and that's why they're on the ark. Thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work with cherubim shall it be made, and thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tatches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony, and the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy place. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony, in the most holy place. So there's the veil. So you've got this. So what? You got this thick veil there to keep people out, right? And the only place you can see God is in that room behind that veil. Let's go to Mark chapter 15, verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. That's from noon until 3. All right. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that heard by, when they heard it, said, behold, he called Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. In other words, they're mocking him. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in two, in twain, from the top to the bottom. And all the Gospels have this account where the veil was ripped in half. That's no curtain like here that you could just take and you could rip it, right? That is a huge, thick curtain at 3 o'clock. Then, and at 3 o'clock was the, and if you some of y'all have been here when I've taught some other stuff about the communion and about the Passover. Who was in the Holy of Holies at 3 o'clock on that day? The high priest was in there. He was in this room at 3 o'clock on that day, doing the one time a year. And what happened? The veil was ripped in half. And by the way, there's a verse in Acts that says that many of the high priests were believers because they were there and they saw it. When Jesus died, they saw it. They saw the veil ripped in half. And what is that? Why was that veil ripped? Because man was no longer separated from God. The veil was ripped. It was gone. That's why. When he died, that's it.
Oh, now I've done it.
Huh?
Now I've done it.
That's what the devil said?
No, that's what the priest said. Now I've done it.
Oh, really? He probably thought he was going to drop dead. Oh, no, what did I do? Oh, man. I hadn't thought about that. That's funny. That's why it says we all have access, we both have access to the Father, because the veil is ripped. The Jews and the Gentiles are one body, and they all have access to God through Jesus Christ. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, okay, verse 1. Hebrews 9, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary, talking about the temple there. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, and after the second veil, because there was a veil here too, by the way. There was a veil here, okay, so there was two veils. There was a veil here. This is called the holy room, and that the priests would go in there every day, okay, and do their thing with. They went in there and they sprinkled blood every day. I mean, it was a bloody man. I mean, he had to go in there every day. I mean, think of all the after 1,000 years, all the blood that was thrown around in there. And there was this thick veil to keep. And there was this thick veil to keep all the stale air in there too. So there was two veils. There was one here, and the priest would go into here every day. And then there was the second veil that went into the Holy of Holies. Okay, that's why it says the second veil. Okay, verse 3. And after the second veil, verse 3, here we are. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over at the cherubims of gold, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now these things were thus ordained. The priests went always into the first tabernacle. That's this outer room here. That's the first room, okay? Accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year. Not without blood. You better take your blood with you. Which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Okay, now let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. See, they had to do it over and over and over. Every day they had to sacrifice and sprinkle their blood around. Why? Because you can really never take away the sins. It was really just a foreshadowing of the sacrifice of Jesus. Okay? That's why it says. And by the way, one of the reasons the priests stood is because their work was never finished. It was never finished. Now, when Jesus gave His sacrifice, where did He go? He went and He said what? It is finished. And He went and He sat down at the right hand of God because He was done. The priest could never sit down because they never were done with their sacrifice. For every priest standeth daily ministering and offering one oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, that's Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, just one. It only took one. Not every day. Not three times a day. One. For by one offering he has perfected or completed forever. How long? Forever. Them that are sanctified. With one sacrifice he has completed us. That's what it means. He has perfected or completed us that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before. And this is a quotation from, I think, from Jeremiah in the Old Testament in verse 16. It says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." That's the end of the quote. Now, verse 18, "Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." All right? And what that means is, remember, the priests had to offer how often? On a continual basis. Why? Because they really couldn't take away the sins. But once there is an offering done that actually takes the sin away, do you need to continue to offer or sacrifice? No, it's done. That's why it says there in verse 18, "Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering of sin. I'm going to see what the Amplified says. Don't have to do it again. In verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness. What? Boldness. To do what? Enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Having boldness to go where? Right in here. That's where you have boldness. That's where you can go now. How often? All the time. Every moment of your life, you can go. Now, go to one more place, to Romans chapter 3. By the way, remember in verse 9, in chapter 9, verse 5, it says, and over it the cherubims of glory shadow the mercy seat. Right? That word, see mercy seat there? It's a hilasterion. The Greek word is hilasterion, that right there. Okay, mercy seat. Mercy seat. Remember that. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 5, it had the words mercy seat. Remember? Okay, now go to Romans chapter 3, and this will wrap it up for you. Okay, verse 23. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes me and you. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now that's a great verse. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. And the propitiation means an atoning sacrifice. And God, Jesus, is our atoning sacrifice, right? He's the guy that paid the price. But that word propitiation is a mistranslation. That word propitiation is almost propitiation, but it's actually the same Greek word that's translated mercy seat in Hebrews chapter 9. See, Jesus Christ is now our mercy seat. And here's the Amplified Bible right here. And it says in 3:25, whom God put forward before the eyes of all as a mercy seat and propitiation by His blood, the cleansing and life-giving sacrifices of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in His divine forbearance He had passed over and ignored former sins without punishment. So here in the Amplified it does say mercy seat, okay? That Jesus Christ is our mercy seat. Jesus Christ is where we have access to God. Jesus Christ is the place where we go now to commune with God. He is our mercy seat now. And so through Him, we have access to God completely. Amen?